So here on the Camel Call podcast, we go far and wide to find our guests. And on this episode, we're excited to have Josh Signe, who's playing professional football over in New Zealand. He just graduated a couple of years ago from Campbell. And Josh, first and foremost, we hope all is well. And I want to ask you, what is it like playing the sport that you love growing up and doing it as a full-time job now here a couple of years out of school?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm glad I obviously got the opportunity to go to Iceland straight after college, and I think that set me up in good stead for coming out to New Zealand, because obviously in Iceland it was very different to out here, so I needed something different. You know what I mean? I'll have to cut that bit out.
No, absolutely. Just experience different stuff, and I know when you were growing up in England, you had talked about coming to the States as a possibility to play in college and to kind of experience that and get a sense of it. What were your expectations coming in, and maybe what was it like looking back on it now of maybe what you learned in college?
Yeah, I reckon I can take a lot of pointers from my time in college. I think that I definitely grew a lot as a person and as a player. I definitely physically matured more whilst I was over in America. And the time I've had there is unforgettable, honestly. Definitely the best couple of years of my life. I had an amazing time at Campbell.
Josh, it's neat, too, because the Campbell program you came to had tremendous growth, and they really took a step forward while you were there. I know it was more than just yourself, but what was it like as a player just reflecting on that success as a team and your role in helping out that group?
Yeah, I think in my junior year, I could sense that we were obviously getting a lot better, and we had a good core group. And then in my senior season, we had a good few additions that really brought some quality to the team, and we just went out there, and I thought we did dominate, but we didn't get the results that we deserved in the league. But obviously, we got the first conference tournament win. And obviously they've gone on to do the double again this year without me and my boys.
Hey, you know, they just carried on what you started, if you think about it, in the grand scheme of things. Josh, we've done interviews about this while you're at school, but the fact that the amount of players from England was such a high number when you kind of first started, and especially when you look at guys like JJ and Ian and players of that like, and you know, Eddie and other players of that ilk. How comforting was it as someone moving across the world, so to speak, to have players with a similar background on your team?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot easier when you're trying to integrate within the squad and what have you. Me and Eddie actually played together in England for a number of years, so I've known Eddie since I was about 12. So yeah, it definitely feels more like home when you're over there, and the camaraderie and the banter between the boys is all there. So it definitely has a wearing off effect on the other lads as well.
No, that's awesome, because the camaraderie of that group is something that I think in soccer it's so prevalent, and it's something that kind of takes over the culture of the sport and of the team. I had the pleasure of traveling with you guys to Dallas when you played SMU in that tournament early on in the year. And what is it like as a college soccer player being on the road and just having a chance to interact with the fellas, as you say?
Yeah, I think the college environment is actually really professional. The facilities and such to such a high standard. So it does make you feel like you're the real deal in a way. And them trips away are class, really. Like, you do everything so professionally. You have to be there on time, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it's good to get away with the boys and get away with yourself and show you how we roll.
Especially, too, Josh, because, you know, someone who like yourself, played at such a high level as a youth player, and then really developing in college and building and taking those steps forward. How proud are you now looking back at, you know, where you were when you were 6 years old starting to play at the, you know, the Manchester United club level, to looking now with your development and growth to be able to play professionally, you know, even a different country?
Yeah, I think when you are obviously that young, your dream primarily is to just succeed in England or obviously in Europe, but Once you get a bit older, you start to realize that you actually need time to mature physically and as a person. And I think that getting released, obviously at 16, was devastating, but at the same time, it was a blessing in disguise. Like, because obviously I came out to America at 18, and then within them 3 years, I grew a lot. And it's, obviously, when I came in, was just in a transition period, and when he came in, it was the same sort of thing. But obviously, my junior year, we definitely developed a lot as a team, and I think he was a big part of that with the recruitment he did manage to get. Obviously, players such as like Matlock and Tebow really helped the squad develop technically as well. But I know obviously Tom's gone off to San Diego, so I hope that Campbell can still recruit just as well without him.
JJ, what, or my apologies, Josh, I was thinking of JJ Donnelly when I asked you that question, but Sigs, when you see a player like Donnelly have such great scoring success, you know, yourself late in your senior year developing as a striker, how proud are you when you talk about that Campbell brand? Obviously, out in different countries, it may not be as known, but just you saying, hey, I played soccer at Campbell, I played Division One, what's that sense of pride for you when you're talking to other people about it?
Yeah, obviously, when you do reflect, you realize like how good it was. Because at the time, you sort of just you coasting, obviously through school and what have you. So to play with players like JJ and Reesey and obviously all the other internationals and domestic Americans, I think that we really did develop as a team together. You know, and we did have that good camaraderie within the squad, and obviously Betsy being skipper kept everyone on a good leash. So yeah, it means a lot to obviously say that I went to Campbell and represented the Fighting Orange, the Fighting Camels.
First of all, Sigs, I love the way you say keep him on a leash for a captain. That's a great piece of commentary that, you know, American lingo, we don't use it as much. I love the British interpretation of it. Sigs, I want to ask you about that Big South title match because, of course, your boy Gideon scores the game-winning goal, and there's the commotion and the excitement. Where were you on the field at the time, and what was it like embracing with your guys?
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, I just remember when the ball's come across. I think it was Alemu actually, and Gids just smashed it into the roof of the net. So, oh, it was a mad feeling because we'd been fighting for 3 years to obviously get to that moment, and for him to do it with such passion as skipper, it was a good trip back to Campbell, I'll tell you that.
Did you get a chance at
Was a
all to watch any of this year's team, and what impressed you about what they were able to do, especially with the 17 wins and really taking a step forward this past year?
I didn't really get time to watch obviously the full games with the time zones and what have you, but I caught up with the highlights and spoke to a few of the boys obviously in season, and I think they just carried on with the confidence they got from the last year and obviously added a few more players, but yeah, they just went on a roll, didn't they? They couldn't stop winning, so hopefully they can carry on for a few more years.
That would be
And they
neat
can
to
be
see.
known as they can be known as the big dogs on campus.
Hey, it's not too far off right now, just based on records and obviously back-to-back titles. That's a huge part of it. So, Josh, you graduate, and you mentioned you got to start your career in Iceland. So, give us a sense as a soccer football player. You know, we know about American sports and sort of how the post-career starts of getting opportunities. What is it like as a professional football player? How do teams reach out to you? What's that communication like to try to land an opportunity?
Yeah, so it was actually through one of the lads at Campbell, Helgi. He basically put me in touch with somebody that he was that he knew in Iceland, and just said, "Do you want to go play out there one summer?" It was actually in between my junior and senior year. So obviously I went out there, and it was a great experience for that first summer, and we did well. We just came up short by 1 point to get promotion to the second division. So I just felt like I needed to go back. So, and obviously they thought I did well. So after I graduated, they offered me the chance to go play there full time. And then we did that season. So that was last year, 2019. And yeah, we got promoted. So we got promoted to the championship in Iceland. So we had a really good team. We had a Brazilian lad who brought something different to the table that I've never seen before. Like he was different gravy. But yeah, we definitely had a good group of players, and yeah, I grew a lot as a player, I reckon, whilst I was in Iceland.
So, Josh, after that summer and the full season, an opportunity opens up for you to move even farther across the world and almost cover all four corners and play in New Zealand's top division of professional football. So when you're packing your bags one more time and moving, what was that opportunity like? And you're still doing it, obviously, but to play at the highest level in that country?
Yeah, I just left with pure excitement, really. I've obviously been used to traveling sort of like on my own, with going to America and then going to Iceland, but it was a lot further, obviously, than going to Iceland. I think it took me 2 days to actually get there. So, yeah, the standard is class, to be fair. There's some players that have obviously played in Europe and developed good careers for themselves and come out to New Zealand similar to what I have and just came here for the life, really, and still played at the top level. Because like a lot of the games are televised on like Sky Sports here, so it's a good way to show yourself off on this side of the world.
So you live in a coastal town where your team is, in Napier, New Zealand, kind of on the coastal side of the country. What is the atmosphere like for you? What is the city like? What do you enjoy about living out in New Zealand?
Yeah, Napier is a beautiful place. It's obviously right next to the beach, like you said. So the people as well. The people are really welcoming. I actually stayed with the host families as soon as I got here, and I've been here ever since. So yeah, they took me in, and I thought, oh, I don't really want to be doing like staying with a family sort of thing again. But yeah, I've loved it here, to be honest. They've treated me like one of their own. And in terms of town, it's a beautiful place. I don't know if you've seen it on Google or anything, but it really is like stunning. It's fairly quiet, but you don't need them distractions, do you?
No, absolutely. I was curious too, because obviously in New Zealand it is a smaller country, but a country that is known for its rugby, it's known for certain sports. How does soccer sit in the landscape of just the New Zealand sports scene?
Yeah, like you said, I think rugby is definitely the big hitter in New Zealand. And I think most of the funding goes towards rugby, and I think secondly would probably be cricket. So I think we sit third on the pedestal, to be fair. But yeah, similar to America in that respect. Obviously, soccer's not the biggest sport out there, but it's on the rise, as they say in the creek.
Hey, I'm glad you brought that up, because yeah, the creek is rising was a huge push when you were there, and still continuing to move forward. Signe, I wanted to ask you something about the Big South title run, because it was unique from my perspective being on the field at the game. A couple of your teammates, including Matt Locke and J.J. Donnelly, brought out the England flag, the country pride with the red and white, and you guys were celebrating right there on the field and kind of were painting the flag around and jumping around and celebrating. Take me back to that moment, and what was it like just experiencing that championship with your friends and with your teammates?
Yeah, we actually had the flag in mine and Eddie and Mikey's apartment. So before the game was obviously like, oh, let's get this out if we win. And I think we all felt confident that we were gonna beat Presby that day. So we brought it along with us, and luckily Betsy smashed it home, and we got to get the flag out and have a little laugh with the flag.
As any soccer, football player, what have you, you know, championships are the goal, but also competing at the highest level. So then you get to go play in the NCAA tournament, and I know you guys would have loved to beat NC State and keep moving, but what is that experience like, or have you been able to relate to that experience of playing at quote-unquote the highest level and competing against teams searching for that title?
Yeah, I think looking back at that game, it was quite disappointing, really. We actually played really well, but I think in a way the referee let us down. I know I don't like to blame other aspects of the game, but we were let down a bit by certain things. But yeah, we had a good game. Maybe we just weren't good enough. But they've obviously gone on to show this year that they can get past that first round and make a bit of history for the program.
Josh, during your senior season, I know you weren't as huge of a goal scorer as you were maybe as a freshman, but you had a couple of key goals in your playoff match against Gardner-Webb at home to kickstart the playoff run and, of course, help you guys win the conference title. How rewarding was it as a player to be able to step up for your team and add a couple of goals and a scoring touch, especially come playoff time?
Yeah, I think the junior year, Springs prior to that, obviously that fall season, I was started scoring again. So I think I came into that season with a bit of confidence and a spring in my step. So we obviously had a good team in our senior year, so we all gelled quite quickly, and it was easy to get into to scoring positions, really, because we had a lot of creativity within the team. So yeah, it was a it's good to be on the score sheet. To be fair, you have to take their moments in because they don't come around a lot, especially as a midfielder.
No, absolutely. And you played over 50 games in your career, so you've seen the best of times and, you know, the tough times as well. Signe at Campbell, and this is something we noticed very evident from day one, the dynamic between the men's and women's soccer program, and that's true at a lot of schools in the country, but what was that dynamic like as a player, just being able to have, you know, your female counterparts right in the same facility and being able to bounce ideas off each other and share a love for the game?
Yeah, it was quite evident from as soon as I got there, really. Obviously, you share the same building with the physio room and the strength and conditioning. But yeah, they had some great girls within that program as we grew up together, really, like the likes of Shelby and Peyton just come to mind straight away. But yeah, I think we gelled well. The lads above us, like when we first came in, obviously they had a good relationship with their peers in their year. So I think we just followed on from them, really.
Josh, my final question I want to touch on with you. So you play for Hawke's Bay United out in New Zealand.
Yeah.
You've been in a couple of clubs now in multiple years. What's sort of your future with football? And I know right now there's some downtime these last few months, but what would you like to do or accomplish in New Zealand, and where do you hope to go next?
I was meant to go to Australia, but with COVID and stuff, it fell through. So I'm sticking around in New Zealand and staying out of trouble for a little bit, I think. Probably try and play another season in New Zealand. Not sure where yet, but just want to develop, obviously, more as a player in this next 12 months. And then look to move on elsewhere. I'd like to go and play in Japan, I think. Somewhere a bit different. Just need to keep using football to take me different places around the world, really. I think that's my goal. Obviously, I've already been to America and Iceland, so I just want to keep traveling with it and experience the different cultures that come around playing in different places.
I'm glad you brought that up, because coming off of that, you mentioned Japan. Are there other countries in an ideal Josh Signe world you'd love to play? Obviously, you know, the EPL is so close to home for you, but are there other places that maybe you'd resonate that you'd want to play in one day?
Yeah, I think I might have to give Gideon a little message because Germany's somewhere I'd like to play. I think it would suit me to play there. But yeah, just all these extravagant places, I think. May as well try and reel them off whilst I'm still young and can still kick a ball. So yeah, I want to try and go to a few more places before I settle down somewhere, I think, and meet Mrs. Signy.
Well, Josh, that's some great perspective, and it's been a very quick couple of years since you graduated, but we appreciate you jumping on and sharing some stories from your professional career.
Of course, Ev. It's nice to speak to you again as well, mate. Obviously, one day I want to obviously reach out to Fonda and speak to him about using my company to get people through to Campbell, really.
So that would be like taking, let's say, high school age kids and developing them and showing them how to interact with college coaches to help in their recruitment.
Yeah, just being acting as a liaison, really. I think that obviously I've the next best thing in terms of traveling the world. So obviously, I want other people to do the same thing. Like, if a reflection of things, like, I think, what is it, like 40 grand a year to go to Campbell if you're just a student?
Absolutely.
So if you're to pay a small fee, the parents pay a small fee to get out to America using the contacts that we have already. I think that it's a great investment into the kids' future. Do you know what I mean?
And it helps them get a partial scholarship or maybe even a full scholarship. And you're right, it kind of breaks
Yeah,
down
because
some barriers.
you know yourself that lifestyle in college is something that you'll never forget, and the people that you do meet is it's crazy, really. Like, I still speak to like my friendship group and that every day, so. Still speak to Big Udy.
That's right. We had him on. He's back in the States now, but he's playing professional basketball overseas too.
Yeah, still speak to him. He's a good bloke. He's been unfortunate, hasn't he, because of this coronavirus.